This is Digital Story Podcast number 1003, June 10th, 2025. Today's theme is Interview with Nick Bott, the brains behind Nitro. I'm Derek Story. I first learned about Nick and his software company Gentleman Coders when he released Raw Power, one of my favorite imaging apps. And now with his encore performance, Nitro, I knew we had to get together and talk shop. In this interview, you'll learn about his early days at Apple, the genesis of Raw Power, and how it all came together for Nitro. I hope you enjoy the show. I'm sitting here with Nick Bott, and he is the brains behind, the force behind Gentleman Coders, most recently with the release of Nitro. Good to see you, Nick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Good to see you too. It's been a while.
It has been a while, and I've been really looking forward to this conversation for a number of reasons. One, I absolutely love Nitro, and I want to hear more about it. But second, I've just been, honestly, a big fan of Gentleman Coders. It's an easy software company to pull for, you know what I mean? In light of everything that goes on in our space, in the imaging space, you and a few others have managed with much smaller teams to just keep going and compete against some of the big guys. I'm guessing that you work a lot.
Yeah, I do. It's something I'm trying to work on to have a little bit more balance. But, when you're a one-man band, there's a lot of great things about it. But one of the things that comes along with is not a lot of breaks.
I can relate. I can relate, yes. Believe me. Okay, let's talk. So many things I want to talk about. Let's just get a little history here for folks so they have context, and then we'll move into Nitro.
I worked for Apple for about 18 years. I was there in two different stints. That's a very common Apple thing. People go and they leave and then they come back again. And so then I was there between 2001 and 2015. That was kind of my later, longer stint. And I was a director of engineering in the Pro Apps group. And so that is the group that develops the Pro Apps like Final Cut Pro, and including Aperture and Compressor and all those kinds of things. So initially I was doing some of the audio applications like Soundtrack, Soundtrack Pro, Compressor. And then I ended up moving over and taking on Aperture shortly before the 1.0 version and helped push that out the door. So so I've been part of Aperture since, right before 1.0. One of the things about me that's a little different is that despite being a manager, a director of engineering, I've always been very technical. I've always written code, designed features, implementing them, doing the architecture. So I also implemented a lot of the features in Aperture itself, with all the amazing engineers that are there. But some of the ones people might know if they're familiar with Aperture are features like the curves feature, which has, all those neat features with different, you could do, linear and gamma, and you can do extended range processing and all those kind of things, or the places and geotagging features, brushing, a lot of those kinds of things are some of the ones that I worked on a lot. I spent years doing Aperture and iPhoto. And then when Apple moved over to developing the Photos apps, then I was over doing some of the Photos apps work with imaging. So I started focusing a lot more on imaging. So that included the team that does raw camera support. The raw camera team was also one that reported to me. I got much more into the way the raw camera systems work, as well as just imaging in general. In 2015, I ended up leaving the company to start my own thing. And that's where Gentleman Coders came about.
Is it that you saw, because it's, as we all know, the move for photographers from Aperture ultimately to Photos was not an easy transition for enthusiast photographers and beyond. Was it that you saw the direction of Photos that kind of led you say, hey, I want to go do something that has a little more teeth to it than maybe Photos initially? What was the impetus for moving to Gentleman Coders and creating that?
It was time to leave and do my own thing. I think that was one of the main things. Photos did not have much in the way of raw editing. It was quite weak. It could decode raw images and it could do some basic editing, but a lot of the functionality that Aperture had provided was just not present, at least in the user interface of Photos. So the first thing I did was build the raw power application, which is the first thing I did, was actually just a simple photo extension. So all it really could do was plug into Photos, but it gave you a whole bunch of adjustments that weren't present in Photos, as well as it focused on getting the raw processing right and giving you the kind of raw sliders and controls that people were lacking at that point because, Aperture wasn't around anymore and Photos just couldn't do it. Now, extensions can't ship by themselves. They have to ship as part of an app. And so I wrote a really simple app that had just a single window, and it just basically hosted the extension. That's all it was. It turned out that actually a lot of people were just using the app the way it was, and that was really surprising to me. So then that kind of led me down this road from writing a photo extension to, oh, it's a single app. Oh, now you need a thumbnail grid. Oh, now we need batch processing. Now, right. And that's kind of how we ended up where we are today.
Interesting. That's fascinating. When I in raw power, which we use in a lot of my workshops, mainly because it's really good for processing IR, because you have channel mixer and all that really good stuff, the LUTs, all those things are really important for specific types of photography work. But the thing that I noticed was that your raw processing in that one panel that gives us a lot of those tools that we had in Aperture that we missed, after Aperture left. That must have been that experience that you had leading the raw team must have led to that panel, because that panel was one of the things that really lit me up when I first started working with raw power.
For sure. And so that's one of the key things is knowing so much about how Apple's raw camera system works and all of the hooks that Apple does provide. I mean, I'm not doing anything, secret or underhanded or anything like that. I'm just using the features that Apple provides to developers, but nobody exposes them. So I made sure that as many things as possible could be made available to people to let them fine-tune those RAWs. And without them, there are certain things you simply can't do. You need to have control over the decoder. You need to be able to control these things very finely. And once you have that, then all these other things get that much better.
Now, this is a little bit of a side shoot question here, but Apple right now, as it stands, and by the way, this is a big Apple fan audience. A lot of people use Macs, all that kind of stuff, but they do struggle keeping up with raw profiles, for photos and all that. They have a team. We have no idea how big that team. It could be a one-man team, it could be a 10-man team. We don't know. But what we do know is that I have an OM3 that I can't use in photos. I don't even think I can use my ZF, my Nikon ZF in photos. And that thing's been out for, what, 2 years, right? You're one guy, and I'm looking at you right now, sitting in your library there. How do you keep up with the raw decoding? I mean, Adobe does it, you do it. Couple others do it. How do you, I mean, tell me, how hard is it to keep up with that part of it?
So a few years ago, so you are right. Apple's ability to add camera support has, well, I'm sure ability, but the fact is they just are very slow to add cameras. And it was okay for a while, and now it's really, really poor. So there are cameras that have not been supported, as you said, for years. And it's a real problem because you get a camera, you're excited about it, and then all you get is this, white th thumbnail in Photos. It's like, what happened to my picture? You can't edit it, you can't work with it. It's incredibly frustrating. And so people would ask me all the time, like, well, how do I support my OM3 or whatever it was? And I was getting frustrated too, because I would buy cameras. I mean, I don't buy necessarily all the latest, greatest, but I bought an underwater camera and it doesn't work. And what am I supposed to do? I don't want to go switch my entire platform. I don't just to use this camera. So I started looking into ways that I could support these cameras without having to rely entirely on Apple. The tricky part is there are other raw decoding libraries that exist out in the world. There's open source ones and this and that. The problem is when you use those systems, They don't integrate with Apple's own rest of the imaging system. And so the tricky part is to say, okay, I want your ZF or whatever to work just the same as it would for your whatever Z50 or your D500 or whatever, for whatever that matters. It should work the same. It shouldn't be I'm in one world or I'm in another world. And so the key innovation that Raw Power and Nitro also have is the ability to essentially extend Apple's system. So I came up with a way using their technologies to let me add camera support on top of theirs when you're using my apps. I mean, I can't modify the operating system, but when you're using my software, I'm able to add cameras that then work with Apple's raw decoder. So I can actually extend it in this very specific manner, which I'm careful not to tell anybody about.
Exactly. Yes,
Because
don't.
it's a secret sauce.
Yeah.
But it so I have a system, I have a whole process that lets me add new cameras. I need samples. I get them online, or customers who have cameras send me samples. I have very specific needs for them, and then it allows me to build the profile I need to then add it, and then it works. Now the thing is, if you're in Photos and you can't open your camera, you can open it if you use the Raw Power Photo extension. It'll work there, right? So oddly, you'll see nothing in Photos, and you go to edit, pick Raw Power or Nitro, and your image appears, which is kind of bizarre, but that's what's happening, right? So I'm able to then take that data and decode it properly, and then use all of the existing tools, including all those raw sliders. They work too.
It's just amazing. I mean, honestly, it's just amazing. I use Nitro and Raw Power both, but I use them as much as a photo extension as I do a standalone for that very reason, because I've chosen the path to go iCloud storage. I like having my images go across all my devices. I mean, that workflow just works for me. That one thing that you do, because I write about cameras and review them, so I'm using new cameras a lot as well. That one thing you do allows me to have that workflow. It's just amazing how much time you're building a new app, you're improving the app, you're troubleshooting the app, you're getting customer feedback on the app, and you're creating new raw profiles. How big of a slice of that pie is the raw profile part of it?
Not so much, because I've been doing that now since about 4 or 5 years now. So I have this sort of approach that lets me, I wouldn't say crank out new cameras, but I can do them fairly quickly as long as they're not, really out in left field. So occasionally I'll get a camera where it's like, this one, it's just not going to work the way that I'd like it to. But in general, I can get a new camera to work fairly quickly if I have the right samples and things work well, then boom, it's something I can add pretty quickly. So I'm able to rapidly add cameras.
That's great. I mean, it's really great for us photographers. Okay, let's move to Nitro. So you have a very good app in Raw Power. I won't say a cult favorite because it's probably bigger than that, but certainly Raw Power has a good following, still has a good following even with the introduction of Nitro. What led you to go, all right, I'm ready to do this now. I'm ready to do in
Sure.
embark on the biggest headache that a software developer can embark on. What led to that?
A certain form of insanity, I think, is required. And so I think I do wonder what I'm thinking sometimes. But what happened fundamentally, I mentioned earlier how I started this as a photo extension, right? So back in 2016 or whatever, Apple had a certain way of doing things. And so I mentioned you write these photo extensions. It was Mac only. I used the Apple frameworks called AppKit to build this thing and all that kind of stuff. iOS apps and Mac apps were different things. You sold them separately, you developed them separately. The purchasing model was very, very specific as well, mostly upfront purchases. We used OpenGL for graphics and all these things. The programming language was called Objective-C. That 2016 was a world like that, with Mac and iOS different, a specific sets of programming languages and techniques for selling. And as time went on, I built the iOS app. Well, okay, as I mentioned, separate application has to be developed separately. So now I maintain these two different code bases that have to have a lot of stuff in common. Apple's moving forward at the same time. So Now, Mac and iOS apps are expected to be combined purchases. The purchasing model is different. They've moved away from OpenGL into Metal. They've changed programming languages. All these things have changed. And I've still got this, technology I built in 2016. And so it's getting to the point where I'm having difficulty taking advantage of these newer technologies because of this gigantic amount of existing code that's running a certain way. I mean, just every time I want to add even one adjustment to raw power, I have to basically do it three times. I have to work on it on the Mac version. I have to work on it for the iPad, and I have to build it for iPhones because of the vertical nature, right? So I'm building everything multiple times to get anything done. So progress starts to slow down. And then there's some things I just can't do. So because of the way Apple has made changes in their model, it's time to basically start with a clean sheet. I need to take advantage of the newer technologies. There's customer expectations that, people have and I should meet. And so that all those things kind of led me to saying, okay, it's time to start over. And that's what caused me to write Nitro. It lets me do things more quickly, and it is more in the expectations of what customers want now.
And now that you have Nitro, it's going to be easier for you to maintain it and evolve it moving forward because you do have the clean code base now.
Right. So, I mean, I spent about 2 years, 7 days a week writing Nitro. That's
Oh my
the
gosh.
insanity part of it.
Yeah.
But it did turn out well, and it is easy, much easier to add things, especially to add them both for Mac and for iPads and iPhones. I just did a release a few days ago, and it's the list of things is like a page long, right? And that's what I was able to do in a relatively small amount of time. Because that this code is much easier to advance than the older code, and that's just kind of life with software over time. It's I will say software is it's not like wine. It doesn't improve with age.
No, it does not. There's a lot of cruft in there. Okay, here's something that fascinated me about Nitro, and I'm wondering how you're dealing with it. So you do have a little bit of AI built into the app. The tools that you started with are quite good. What is your approach to AI? How do you, because it's such a big thing in photo imaging, how are you dealing with the AI aspect of just your software in general and Nitro in particular?
Yeah, that's a really good question because we've all seen a lot of different approaches to AI from, for example, auto enhancements and things like that. And I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff. My whole feeling is that I want to make tools that both give control to photographers but also help them without basically getting in their way or taking over. And so if you look at some of the things that I've done recently, so in brushing or in masking for Nitro, there's an AI mask, right? So the AI mask will identify the subject or the background. The background is just the opposite of the subject. And so it helps you really very quickly do a subject, and it works pretty well. And so that's nice because if you have to do it yourself, you can, but it's quite tedious. So let me accelerate that process for you. But what's nice is it's not just like, here's your mask and like it or lump it. You can then use the brushing to fine-tune it, right? So this way, the computer is working with you, not instead of you or not at opposition to you, right? So how can I help you with AI? I added a new keyword feature. So you can add keywords, it's hierarchical, we can get into that more, but I added an AI keyword feature, but it's not meant to say, I'm going to do it all for you. It's let me help you. So in each stage, I'm looking to see how can AI accelerate something, but in a way that you maintain control.
And as a software developer, what is the learning curve for you to develop these kind of tools? I mean, there's a lot of obvious help, but again, a new frontier.
And AI covers a lot of ground. I mean, machine learning, if we're talking more specifically, a lot of this stuff is machine learning, which is a subset of AI. So there's a couple of things, I have to learn as I go because I also, I don't know what's wrong with me, but I decided to go back to school. So I'm actually back in school right now. I'm getting my master's in computer science. So I'm doing that at the same time. But what that let me do was get all this new knowledge, right? So I'm getting, state-of-the-art knowledge and education and in AI and machine learning and all those kind of things. So now I have much more of that foundation, which is allowing me to start adding these technologies.
Honestly, that sounds like a great investment in yourself and your company. Seriously.
Yeah,
All right.
it's been great. It's been great.
Yeah. So I'm going to surprise you now with something. Favorite feature in Nitro. I have a ton of them. The overarching thing is I love the way that you continue to integrate it so well with photos. I mean, that is super important to me. Aside from the raw decoding, one of the things about photos that has always made me crazy is the import. Import just sucks. It just, I mean, if you've ever used Lightroom, if you've ever used Aperture, you ever used Capture One, you go, this is the same import dialogue that I've had from day one in this application.
Right.
They haven't done a thing to it. So what I'm doing now is I'm using Nitro to import my photos because I can browse through them, I can zoom in on them, get a closer look, I can tag them, I can do like everything that I want to do on an import. And then I select the ones that I want because I like to pre-select my image. I don't bring everything in off the card. So I like to pre-select. And so I select them and then I use your share button and you allow me to put them into photos in original form without recompressing them, without screwing with them at all. And then they go instantly right into photos. It's fabulous. I have to tell you, it's like my favorite feature. Does that surprise you?
That is your favorite feature? I don't know, maybe. People do really like that. It's not what I mean, when I tell people about that, they're really amazed. And so, to let people kind of know a bit more about it, what's happening is you can. So Nitro lets you work with the file system or the photo library. In fact, on the Mac, you can have a window of each or any number of windows of each and work with them. But one of the things that people have a problem with is they say, well, I'm only a file system person. I'm only a photo library person. But a lot of people use both, like you do.
I do.
And the problem is that it's what people end up doing is they're saying, oh, okay, well, I work in the file system and then I want to use iCloud or get on my phone or whatever. So I'm going to export a JPEG or something. And now I've got these two copies of things. One is rendered and one is the original. And now what if I want to tweak it in photos? Well, oh, wait a minute. Now it's over in find files. What do I do now? So this feature lets you export the original and all the metadata, including the ratings, the adjustment metadata, all that stuff goes right into photos, into an album, wherever you want it. And so now you can do your work in the Finder however you want, and then push non-destructively all the data into the photo library and vice versa. You can go from the photo library and actually export an original plus an XMP sidecar.
It's fabulous. It's allowed me, I mean, Apple should send you a thank you note for this one. It has allowed me to stay in the toe of the Apple ecosystem for my photography. Even though, I write about Capture One, I write about Lightroom, I write about all of them. But at the end of the day, I want my iPhone pictures, which I value, right? I'm good iPhone, but to integrate with my Nikon pictures, my OM system pictures. I want them all to integrate. I don't want to have a separate world for this and a separate world for that. This allows me to do that, and I absolutely love it. What are some of your favorite features in Nitro, or ones that you're really proud of, or that you want people to know about?
Okay, that's great. Great question. We've covered some of them, which is I mentioned, for example, the ability to use both the file system or the photo library. And on iOS, it's the Files app, so you can again use either one of them or both. And the support for iCloud Photos, so things synchronize between machines. If you edit on your Mac and you use iCloud Photos, you can go to your iPad and keep editing non-destructively. So there's a full non-destructive thing across iCloud as well. Thing that remains missing from photos, which is still kind of amazes me, is the lack of ratings and flagging. It's still not there. It's just incredible. So Nitro lets you rate and flag, and then you can create filters and even smart albums and stuff like that. That's I think important. We mentioned a little bit with the brushing. The masking support I think is really strong. Gradients, brushes. One of the things I like a lot is the fact, as I mentioned with the AI masking, is that you can fine-tune anything. So if you can make it, whether you're making a gradient or an AI mask or whatever, you can then throw a brush on anything and erase or fine-tune it. There's an edge-aware brush, so you can track along edges to carve out areas pretty well. The synchronized pan and zoom, I think, came up pretty well as well. So you could have multiple images up, 4 images, 8 images, 16 images, and then zoom them all and pan them all at the same time.
Yeah, that is a sweet feature. I like that a lot.
I think those are good ones. And I mentioned the keywording. So the keywords are all new. I'm shipping now a hierarchical keyword system. It works mostly for the file system. There's some limited support in the photo library because of Apple has some restrictions on what we can do basically with keywords. But you get a hierarchical keywords. I ship over 1,000 keywords that I built my own keyword set that's got the hierarchy in it. It's localized, so then you get actually keywords in different languages as well. A customer wrote to me and he was so pleased with the keyword feature. He just couldn't believe it. And he said that, I'm paraphrasing, but he said, this is a feature that even the big boys wouldn't even have attempted. And that felt really good.
I bet it did. Wow. I feel that way about a number of the features, but I agree with you on that as well, and that customer. So, what is the best way for people, really? I think every photographer in this audience should have Nitro in his or her toolbox. It's affordable, it's powerful, and if you're on a Mac, you should have it. What is the best way for you for people to get it? Is it going to the site? Because we know the App Store takes a piece of the action. How does it, what do you want people to do?
I actually only sell my apps right now through the App Store.
Do?
Sometimes I think about offering them separately. There's a lot of work that's involved in having web downloads with things like licensing and taxes and international stuff. And so I've decided, at least for now, I'm going to stick with the App Store. So Nitro is a free download with a free trial. But here's one thing I want to mention to people, because when they hear free trial, I think they have a very specific understanding of it. And I want to tell them that this is sort of a unique free trial in that it is truly free, in that you can use it for 7 days. It doesn't make you sign up for anything. You don't sign up for a subscription. There's nothing that's going to happen at the end of the 7 days. You have to like rush and maintain, oh my God, how many days do I have left? I'm gonna have to, do something, or I'm gonna get, charged or signed up for something. It's truly free. At the end of the 7 days, you can decide. You can keep you if you want to use it, you can buy it outright, you can subscribe to it if you like, monthly or annual. Or you can just use it in sort of a read-only mode. It doesn't, shut you out of the application. As a customer, as a consumer myself, I hate the kind of free trials that make you sign up for something and now you're on the hook, right? So I made sure that this is something you can try without any concern. I do get emails from people saying, going like, well, I think I don't want to do it. How do I cancel? It's like, there is nothing to cancel. It is completely free. I brought this up with some people at Apple and they thought that was not even allowed. It's like, yes, that's allowed. And they couldn't believe it. It's like, you can have a free trial that doesn't charge people. It's like, yes, you can. And so that was important. And so that's how it works. I'm sure that I don't get as much revenue as I would if I did it the way that, with the auto sign up thing, but that's not the important thing. The important thing is to have the right experience, the right purchasing experience. So I would say they can go to the App Store, type in Nitro Photo. There's also my website, which gives a lot of the same information. And then you can download and try it for free, completely free, and then decide. That was the other thing. It's like when people sign up for free trials that have subscriptions, if there is a one-time purchase option, you're kind of stuck because you bought the subscription, you paid some money, but then if you're going to buy the per lifetime, you bought it twice. And I don't want that either. So you get to that end of that 7 days and you make your decision. So
Yeah.
you're not buying things multiple times.
I love it. So I went straight to the lifetime purchase because honestly, it seems like a deal.
Yeah, it is a deal.
It is. Was it 99? I don't. I think I had a little bit of a special because I was early. I got in early. But what is it right now?
So it's yeah, if you are it, so it's $100 lifetime, meaning there will not be like a Nitro 2.0 that invalidates all of the old things. There's just one Nitro. I just keep adding to it. However, if you own Raw Power, then there's a roughly 20% discount. So it's the reason I say roughly is because of the way the App Store is in different countries, the pricing is a little funky sometimes, so sometimes it's not exactly that amount, but that's the intent. So you get a discount if you're a raw power customer on top of everything else. So yes, it is quite a deal.
Is a great deal. It is a great deal. It is absolutely one of my favorite tools in my toolbox. Thank you. I mean, honestly, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we got to have this chat. There's more we could talk about, but podcast, I am very disciplined on podcasts. I keep it to around 30 minutes if I can.
Sure.
So
That sounds great. I really like talking with you about it.
yeah, it's fun. I'm just gonna say, everyone, honestly, you have to take a look at this application. You will not regret it. And Nick, thanks so much for being on the show. Best of luck with Nitro. Make sure you get some sleep at night. All right.
Okay, I'm working on it.
All right. All right.
Thanks. All
Take
right.
care.
Thank you too. Bye.
Thanks so much, Nick, for sharing your thoughts, your wisdom, your time, giving us an inside peek at the world of software development. Fascinating stuff, and I'm so happy that you were able to sit down with us and talk shop. All right, stick here for a little Virtual Camera Club news. I want to start out with a big thanks to our Inner Circle members, those who support this podcast month in and month out, and especially our Inner Circle Bold members who have moved it up another notch. So, Inner Circle Bold members, you're going to be very happy to learn that in our upcoming Mastering Photos workshop, online workshop, which you have free tuition to, as part of our special for signing up for Inner Circle Bold, that we're going to be talking about Nitro and incorporating Nitro into the Photos app to give you an unbelievably powerful imaging pipeline for both your iPhone work and your interchangeable lens camera. Really good stuff. This has all been part of the plan. Having Nick here, of course, was just a bonus, a little frosting on the cake. So, anyway, that workshop will be here before we know it. And I think you're really going to like not only learning the ins and outs of Photos, but how other apps such as Nitro integrate with it so well. And thanks again, Inner Circle members, for supporting this community. Also, want to mention our good friends over at Red River Paper, longest running sponsor of the Digital Story. These are the folks that supply the best printing paper on the market, the widest variety, just wonderful, wonderful stuff. But the thing about them that's different is not just getting paper, although getting paper is really nice, but it's also everything that goes with it, the reviews, the knowledge, the helping you decide which surface works best for your project, providing templates for doing things like fine art greeting cards. It just goes on and on and on. That Red River Paper site, which you can get to by clicking on the tile that's on every page of the Digital Story, that Red River Paper site is just a wealth of knowledge. If you want to elevate your inkjet printing experience, if you want to create artwork that hangs on the wall or that you can hand to other people, then click on that Red River Paper tile that's on every page of the Digital Story. Start nosing around, get yourself some paper, and start making some beautiful, beautiful artwork. And a big thanks to Red River Paper for sponsoring this podcast. All right, it's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed Nick's conversation. Boy, there's some big stuff happening for next week. Make sure you tune in and find out all about it. Until then, get out there, take some pictures, stay safe. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.